Anyway, what I was going to talk today about is actually the concept of a spacious mind. And I always like, there's the verse we, most of you know quite well, because we say it's the ending, the formal ending of a meal in our tradition. When you do, you say the five thoughts at the beginning, and then at the end you say, the universe is as the boundless sky, as lotus blossoms above unclean water. Pure and beyond the world is the mind of the trainee. O holy Buddha, we take refuge in thee. The universe is as a boundless sky. And a lot of things is, can we, a lot of the ways we relate to things is the way we don't have a spacious mind. We bind ourselves. And often it's functional in life. It's one of our ways to cope with life is to actually narrow our focus and concentrate and get absorbed in something. And for many of us, that's how we've gotten through life, is by learning to narrow our focus a lot. And a lot of training is actually that there's nothing wrong. It doesn't stop you from focusing on things, but it's also bringing a sense and an openness and a spaciousness, which we can also have. You can do something well and not be fixated on it, or you can just get fixated on it. A lot of training is learning to kind of have that spacious mind. And often a lot of practices and a lot of what people do narrows their mind. A good example is, some frequently somebody will tell me, well, I meditate really well while I'm doing this, whatever, some activity that basically allows them to concentrate and let go of everything and just play the guitar, do this job, do something or other. And there's a value in that. It's not like there isn't. But spiritually, that's not of much significance. You know, you're not getting anywhere spiritually just because you're at one with your guitar or you're at one with something else. In fact, that can be a negative thing, because we have to be willing to see beyond the narrow focus of something. So when something comes up, you can actually have that fluid and fixed mind that realizes what you're doing is not important in the deeper sense. Now, that doesn't mean it has no importance. Like, people often want to have it like, wow, things don't matter, or things have to matter a lot. Things matter and they don't matter. A good example of that is, let's say I have a health problem. I can get absorbed in it, fixated on it, concentrated on it. God, what does this lump mean? Am I dying? Is this that? Or you can actually realize that, but you can still deal with it, take responsibility for it, realize it has an importance, but on a deeper sense, it's not the important thing, because in a deeper sense, we're going to fall apart. And we have that spacious mind that is trying to see beyond just, this is my body, this is my life, this is it. You know, so we can see the unbounded sky, and we can be the mind of the trainee that is beyond the world. And one way of looking at it is looking at it that actually I remember reading. It was a good way of putting it. The Theravadan monk and disciple of Ajahn Chah, Ajahn Sumedho, put it very nicely, as he kind of liked using space as the unconditioned and form as the conditioned. Well, what does that mean? Well, the Buddha actually used the very term. He said, there is an unborn, undying, unchanging, uncreated. If there was not that, there'd be no refuge from that which is being born, dying, changing, created. And that was like the clearest example the Buddha gave of pointing to the spiritual place, to the fact that the deeper truth in Buddhism, which in a way the Buddha didn't actually talk about. He just talked about what you needed to let go of and do. The unborn, the undying, the unchanging, the uncreated wasn't something he talked much about or tried to describe. But in a way, that place can be seen as just the fact that on a very concrete level, we can see the unconditioned being embodied in space. And what do I mean by space? I mean the fact that there's always space, and what we don't notice is the space. We notice what's in the space. But the space itself is unbounded, unconditioned. there, you can talk about my space. So it's like I'm in a priory building. You can say, well, this is my space, but actually nobody owns the space. The space, we put stuff in the space and we concentrate on this building, this thing. But to notice space, you almost have to withdraw your attention from fixating on the objects in the space so you can actually be aware of what's all around them. Because in a way, you can't concentrate on it. Just like space is inherently peaceful, but the object, what's in the space can be attractive, repellent, but space is completely neutral. You can kind of go, when somebody says it's a bad space, what they're talking about is the stuff in the space. Like, oh, that room is messy. It's a bad space. Or I don't like the fact that the trees are dying here, or what's going on, or the weather here. But that's actually not the space. And to be aware of the space, you actually have to withdraw your attention from the objects in it. Now, move this image to meditation. Think of what we're trying to do in meditation, which is, in a way, not concentrate on all the things that pop up in our minds in meditation. Really, the objects. And let go of it and be aware of what is always going on, which is actually the space that's there. And what's ever appearing, it's, you know, like it's, they put it in Buddhism, it's appearing in the mirror, but has no substance. It's just something that is appearing in this boundless mirror. And in a way, the conditioned is everything, all the things in our life are the conditions. My body, my relationships, what's going on, the smoke in the air and the coronavirus, my health and ill health, my finances, what's going on in China, what's going on somewhere else, global warming, global heating, whatever's going on, the weather. These are all conditions, but in a way, space isn't being bound by them. And in a way, we're longing for the unconditioned. We're longing for what isn't being bound. The universe is as the boundless sky. Boundless, realizing none of the conditions bind us. And in a way, a spacious mind has room for everything. But, and it has room for everything by not getting caught up in those, what appears in the spacious mind and in the spacious heart. So what meditation in daily life, in a way, is trying to generate that spacious mind that allows things to go right and wrong, things to go our way and not our way, to be what we want and what we don't want, to have everything in it, and realizing the spacious mind isn't being bound by it. Often you can have a successful life, but in a way, you're doing it by narrowing your focus and just concentrating on, I don't know, whatever it is, your family, your job, your work. Just think of the world today where the world's full of people who thought everything was going well in their life and they had a handle on it. And suddenly millions of people, probably hundreds of millions of people right now in the world, are having great problems because whatever they were doing that made their life work, they can't do anymore. Their businesses can't open. Their work isn't going to work because they can't do it anymore. And due to no fault of their own, the conditions have changed. And a spacious mind can actually embrace it by learning not to fixate on what's going right, going wrong, and all the rest, and realize you can find freedom and peace no matter what's going on. And in a way, practice can be seen as a way of increasing the space, creating a more spacious mind and heart that is not so bound up in everything. And all our suffering actually comes from the lack of that spaciousness, because that's what suffering is. Suffering isn't what happens to us. It's the way we narrow our reaction to it and get caught up in that reaction to it. Somebody does something and it isn't the fact that it hurt. That's just hurt. It's the way we fixate on it and focus on it and kind of go focus on a loss, the same way as I remember talking to someone who lost their child, and it's really common, and they just completely absorbed in how this happened and all the rest, rather than just taking a spacious mind that sees everything appears and disappears in it, birth and death, life and all, and nothing's actually going wrong just because something disappears from it, even if it's your child. That's the nature of things, and you can realize it's okay. And I've spoken to people who've lost children, they did do. In a way, they had a much more spacious mind, and they didn't suffer, and I realized they suffered, but they didn't suffer. They felt a sense of okayness with it, that it was all right. And I've met people whose lives were crushed by it. And we're obsessed with something, and that's what suffering is. In a way, it can be seen as getting absorbed in something not going the way that we want it to. The same way as if you have an illness, you can be absorbed in it. It can fill you. It can be all you think about, what you deal with, what you're trying to solve. And when we're worried, we're upset, we're excited, we're depressed, we're often just getting absorbed in what's going on. In a way, by letting things go, by trying to find peace, concentrate on just trying to be at peace, we free up our mind and we create a space and we free our intention. And actually, when we do that, we realize, wow, this is healthy, this is good, this is liberating, in just small ways. I can even remember when I first started meditating, I had a really difficult phone conversation with my mother that really just bothered me. And I remember going to sit down and to meditate. Suddenly I meditated and just washed away. It was like, what was that all about? And I realized, wow, I can actually let go of these things, and it really feels good. Because nothing was really, it wasn't about anything important. It was minor stuff that caused me to do that. And that freedom is what we're trying to find, that spacious mind. The more we do it, the way it's like the space in the room is not affected by what we put in and out of it. We move this, we move that. Space is just space. And in a way, a spacious mind's the same. Things come in and out. We don't cling to them. They are whatever they're there. We have good and bad in our life, things we like, things we don't like. There's something boundless in it, and we can try to get in touch with that. And it's like there's nothing about space itself that is horrible or beautiful. It's just space. But everything's in space. And in a way, the very lines in the scripture of great wisdom, form is emptiness, emptiness is form, is, I like it better than pure, which is the way we're messaging you. Made the translation, but in a way that can be seen as space, form and space, instead of empty, it's just space. Space without anything in it is empty, and they get their meaning from each other. Form can't exist without space, and space has no meaning without form. It's like the mind has no meaning if it can't, just like a mind without thought is like, it's basically a rock. There's no connection. And the silence in the mind is almost like space. We hear silence, we have to shut up and just realize there's always silence. Even if there's noise, there's silence. If we shut up, there's silence. Just like you can be listening to a bubbling stream. If you don't generate thoughts, there's a silent mind. Yet there has to be sound too, and just not getting caught up in it is the silence. And in a way, just like in meditation, being aware of the silence allows the mind a balance and openness rather than being absorbed in some thought, some thinking in what we're doing. And all our judgments, all our thoughts, all the things we think are positive, negative, all of what we want, we don't want, our fears, our desires, are all just conditions that are appearing and disappearing in the spaciousness in our mind, just like as things appear in the room I'm sitting in right now. I can move different couches, different furniture. Molly can come in and out. People can come in and out. But the room is not affected by the space. It's just space. It's untouched by what comes in and out of it. Just like whatever appears on the mirror, switching metaphors, doesn't affect the mirror. So instead of concentrating on what's happening to us in our life, our thoughts, our feelings, our problems, our desire, bring an open space around what's going on and a bigger picture. Just like when something bothers me, often I'm just seeing what's bothering me rather than just seeing everything else that's going on. And the fact that there's lots of always grounds for me to be grateful with whatever's going on. Because we're being given a lot of very positive things all the time too, which when we narrow our focus, we don't see. Whether it's positive or negative, we can realize we're not being bound by it. It's like one of the Buddhists said, you know, I remember saying that what we're trying to find in Buddhism is unshakable deliverance of the heart, finding freedom no matter what the conditions are. Finding freedom whether we're brightly alive or dying, finding freedom within it. And you can go, wow, that sounds great, but what do I do where I am right now? Well, wherever you are right now, there's things you can let go of, things you cannot make important, things that you cannot hold on to. In a way, notice the bigger picture. Be aware of the space, the openness around whatever situation you're in. Be aware of the fact that, in a way, on a deeper sense, this is all, nothing is fundamentally going on. It's just stuff appearing and disappearing in this spacious space. And that everything kind of goes within it. And in a way, by looking at what's going on at it, you can start freeing yourself from it. Because you can realize it's not binding you, which is really how we find freedom, is not by getting rid of stuff, but by recognizing it's not binding us. If we don't focus on it, it's just something else in the room, something else in the space. You know, that's why there's silence and space around all our obsessions, our fears, all our thoughts, all our things are there. But if we open ourselves, there's something unbounded going on with all these things. Just like you can get angry and feel like something's going on. And then you can just notice it's a feeling just moving through the mind and nothing's binding. It's just the feeling, just the thought coming through. You're not battling anything. You are just letting things go and seeing them arise and pass and just trying to do what's good. Same way as you're not battling illness, you're just seeing illness. In our culture, people battle disease, they battle cancer, they battle this. You're not battling anything. Nobody is. Doing chemotherapy isn't a battle. You're just putting up with stuff and just being aware of it and just dealing with it and just trying, from a Buddhist point of view, you're just trying to accept it and do what's good for your body. If I had cancer and the chemo would perhaps solve it, I would do the cancer and just accept whatever the consequences are and realize, oh, hopefully the sickness from the chemo is better than the sickness from the cancer. And just accept this is my karma. And it's fine to be sick. It's fine to feel this. Just feeling. If I don't hold on to it, the unbounded mind is still there. Because in a way, we have to realize that the worldly mind, pure and beyond the world, is the mind of the trainee. O holy Buddha, we take refuge in thee. Pure and beyond grasping happiness or fearing and fleeing evil and suffering is the way we make dukkha. It's the way we make suffering. Patience and acceptance, in a way, are an expression of the unbound. They point us to what's boundless. Well, when we are impatient and unaccepting, we are binding ourselves. And that's the second noble truth. Suffering is due to our desires, due to our wants. We can have it appear, but when we recognize the mind is unbounded and point ourselves to this by realizing we can bring our attention from just focusing on what's wrong to just being aware of the openness around us to a more spacious mind. And we all can find a more spacious mind. You go, just go outside and look at a tree and there's something more spacious than just focusing on what you're doing. Or sometimes the image I always like from Ajahn Chah, who said, if you're washing the dishes and mentally complaining about something, you're cleaning the wrong thing. Much more important to clean the mind than the dishes. One of the ways we get the more spacious mind is by letting go of the complaining and just washing the dishes. It's good to wash the dishes, isn't it? It's kind of nice. It's what needs to be done, and we don't have to fill ourselves with a complaint. We can be grateful we have the dishes. We can be grateful that we're washing them. That probably meant that we had some food to eat. Be grateful for that. Be grateful for what we're being given. You know, and a lot of delusion in life is that people, in a way, are chasing the conditions that'll make them happy. And that's a way of creating suffering. You're trying to grasp happiness rather than just trusting the happiness is there in this boundless mind. And that's the true source of happiness, is realizing the unshakable deliverance of the heart, that we don't have to be bound by whatever's going on. We're tying ourselves in knots and complaining about it. You can think the world's tying yourself in knots. You can, I'll talk to people, oh, the president's causing you to suffer. I kind of go, how's the president causing you to suffer? What's he done that's making you suffer? And you realize, well, you shouldn't do this. He's doing, well, that's making you suffer. And you realize you can let go of it. You know, you don't have to carry it around. Naturally, you'll read the news and feel bad about something or other, but you don't have to keep carrying it around. It's not like it's making you suffer. And if we're not careful, our lives are full. What we're trying to get in touch with, define what's boundless, is get more in touch with our suffering. What is binding us? Seeing how we often have constructed our lives to have a restlessness, a lack of peace, have it easy to suffer. Lots of things bother me. Lots of things irritate me. Lots of things frustrate me. All these are ways that means we're binding ourselves and we're not focusing on the boundless in our life. We're focusing on what binds us. Because in a way, if you want to know what people would like, the word enlightenment, I would like to be enlightened. Being enlightened means you have to be at peace with what you have rather than trying to get what you want. Simple as that. You can't be enlightened unless you can fully embrace where you are right now. That's what enlightenment is, not trying to change things. I mean, it's on a practical level, it can be good to change things, just like if I was ill. Actually, I would probably be trying to change the illness or the pain or whatever it is. But that's not what's stopping me from opening my heart to the Buddha. That's just what's good to do, the same way as it's good to wash the dishes or it's good to clean my room or it's good to feed Molly. None of those things stand against the fact that pure and beyond the world is the mind of the trainee. O holy Buddha, we take refuge in thee. And in a way, we're using thoughts to we're using our minds to direct ourselves in the right direction, to see what's really going on in our lives, to accept responsibility for our suffering, for our inner conflict. In a way, one way I like to look at training is to see that what's making us suffer is not the painful feeling. People often describe all these painful feelings to me, like I'm making a problem out of that. The suffering comes from not wanting that painful feeling. Simple as that. If you want to know what's causing you to suffer, it's not wanting that painful feeling. And on a practical level, yes, we don't want that painful feeling. Like, I don't want to feel embarrassed, hurt, afraid, scared. But in the boundless mind, it's fine to have that painful feeling there. We don't have to get rid of it. We can just let it arise and pass in this boundless mind. We can be beyond the world by not clinging to it and realizing it's fine. It's the nature of things. As long as I live, I'm going to have painful feelings, just like I'll have health and ill health. I'll have what I want and what I don't want. Pure and beyond the world is the mind of the trainee. How do I have that, realizing the world doesn't bind me? Because the world is our mind grasping things. That's what the world is. It's not, the world is in our minds and it's our desires that make the world. Let go of the world and it's just space, just openness. Nothing's binding us. But when I say I like this and I don't like that and cling to it, not that we don't have likes and dislikes. Like right now I'm in the Priory Common Room and I'm looking at the couches and thinking, oh, they're not bad couches. They could be nicer. They could be this, but I realize they're just couches. They don't matter. I can even smile now looking at how we got some of these couches. I remember when I first came to the Priory, one of the first things I did is this, we had divided the common room at the Priory into two rooms because when her message used to be down here, she needed more bedrooms for monks who came down with her. So the common room was almost half the size of what it is now. So, but it just had a temporary divider. It hadn't been built to be two rooms. And it got divided to be two rooms with this temporary partition. So I took away the partition, I remember, was one of the very first things I did here because her message was no longer alive. We could just have a bigger common room. But then I didn't have enough couches. And I remember I went, took down the partition. And the next day, my next door neighbor came by and said, do you need any couches? And what you're looking at in the common room is some of the couches I got from my next door neighbor, which actually even matched exactly was a perfect match for one of the couches we had here. And we have these blue polka dot couches. Actually, I could show people the couches, like that couch there came from our next door neighbor. And we got the couch. But it doesn't really matter. It's just a couch. And things don't bind us unless we let them bind us. The universe is as the boundless sky. Everything can appear in the boundless space of the body of the Buddha and realize nothing's being gained or lost. Whatever we want or don't want, it's in this boundless body. There is an unborn, undying, unchanging, unconditioned. There was not, there'd be no refuge from that which is being born, dying, changing, conditioned. Meaning the purpose of training is finding what isn't being bound. It's to find the boundless space. Every Buddha and every ancestor realizes he's the same as a limitless sky and as great as a universe. When they realize their true body, they're nowhere more to be found. When they realize their true body, you know, they realize they're boundless. You know, that was Dogen.